Well, hey guys, welcome back to the show. I'm Dr. Nick Wilson.
I'm Dr. Tracy Gross.
Hey, you guys are going to really like this episode. We get into a conversation about healthcare or sick care.
Right, right. And it really is your family's health in the balance. You get to choose. Do you want healthcare or do you want sick care?
So we talk about why this is the most important decision that you make when it comes to your health and healthcare. So I know you're going to enjoy this episode, healthcare or sick care, your family and the balance. All right, Dr. Tracy. So we are talking about your health philosophy and why this matters so much, and actually why this is the number one predictor of success in your outcome when it comes to health. Now, that's a bold statement.
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of people don't realize that every health choice you make comes from your fundamental belief. So we're really going to dig deep into what that means today.
You and I were just talking about this and how this point right here about your health philosophy being the number one predictor of someone's success in health, how they can know exactly what to eat, know exactly when to eat it, know exactly what toxins are harmful to their body. They can have, you know, a well-balanced spine and nervous system, exercise daily, and even have a strong mindset, you know, just like a belief in themselves. But why is it that your health philosophy is then the number one determining factor of whether you get a healthy or you're sick? Or I would say that you get led down this road of chasing symptoms, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it can be really a turning point in someone's life if they don't have a strong philosophical understanding before the crisis. And so let's talk about this, because this is the biggest point. And again, this is the point that people, it's easy to talk about how to lose weight. It's easy to talk about which foods to eat, which toxins to avoid, and, you know, how to have a better life.
Yeah.
You know, people are attracted to that, I think. And people are like, all right, I can listen to that. Okay, why should someone listen to this point right here about philosophy and paradigm? And why does this even matter?
Well, because every action comes from a belief, right? You're not going to do anything if you haven't settled in your heart, in your spirit, what you believe about your body. If you believe that your body is broken, that it is deficient, and that it needs something outside of itself, then what's going to motivate you to improve it and to lose weight or to eat well or make good health decisions?
So it was interesting when COVID hit, when we had that reaction to COVID that we did a year ago, trying to reframe how I say that. It was interesting. Someone's paradigm, someone's philosophy, it became very apparent.
Oh yeah.
When crisis hit, it hits. And maybe that's COVID, or maybe that's a fever, or maybe it's a diagnosis. When crisis hits, it's really when the rubber meets the road.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly why it's so important that we're having this conversation right now, because you have to get sure in your belief system before a crisis even hits.
That's right. So we posed the question when you and I were talking, can your health philosophy hurt you?
Mm.
And I feel like it's very apparent that it can.
And even bigger consequences, can your health philosophy hurt your family? Mm-hmm. Can it hurt your future generations?
That's right. And that's why this, you know, we talked about your family really is in the balance. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to dramatize this, but it's already dramatic. We don't have to actually dramatize this, but it's your family in the balance. And let me give you an example why. Right now, the average person fills 12 prescription medications every single year, right? Right now, we have 25% of our youth on some type of prescription medication.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not about whether drugs are right or wrong, but you and I both meet with patients. And, you know, it's not that they're coming in saying, Doc, I'm on the list of medications and I'm doing great. It usually goes something like this. Doc, I'm on a list of these medications. I'm miserable. What is there a different road? Is there something different I can do?
Mm-hmm.
It's really that they're pursuing something different and different from what they've been told, or different from the path that they're currently on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually out of desperation when that happens.
Yeah. That's the number one reason I get for people coming into the clinic is because they've tried everything else and it's failed them and they're in worse health than they were to begin with. And so they're looking for a better way. It's actually really exciting because more people are starting to wake up. More people are starting to realize that they need an alternative. And I would say not even alternative. They need the more natural route, the route that we were designed to take.
A different approach. I was reading Barbara Starfield's study, and the title of the article, not even an article, this was a study out of, maybe you can help me where this was posted. Barbara Starfield, she's a medical doctor. Maybe you can pull that up in a second, but I was reading where we rank the United States compared to the rest of the industrialized countries. Mm-hmm. And I'll just give you, it was 13 countries that they studied. And we ranked 13th for low birth weight percentages. So we have the lowest birth weight of the industrialized world. We ranked dead last for neonatal mortality and infant mortality. We ranked dead last of potential life lost. And so this is one that I feel like gets brushed over and not talked about enough, is potential years of life lost. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? It means the year that you die, or the year that you got diagnosed with the disease, right? And then the year that you died, that gap there, how many years you're living with sickness and disease. Mm-hmm. And so what they define that is potential life lost, because how many of us know somebody who they might have been living, but they weren't truly living.
Yeah.
They might've been alive with a pulse, but they weren't actually truly living.
That's a point that I want to highlight. I want people to sit in that, because so many people come in and we by nature are minimizers. I think a lot of people say, oh, well, I've had these headaches for 15 years, but they're not that bad. Mm-hmm. Or whatever condition, whatever symptom, I've had it for this much time, but it's not that bad. But when you stop and think about it as life lost, potential life lost, that's a huge deal. Think of all of the things that you are limited in doing and the fact that you can't live your life to your fullest potential.
We're born to live.
Right.
We're born to live. We're here to live. So think about that. What is more important than living to your full potential? What is more important than that? Maybe eternally, maybe you can say spiritually, the depth of eternity and understanding that, but years of life lost, even if that's your frame of reference, think about how well do you serve God when you are sick in bed, mm-hmm. right? And how good of a mom or how good of a dad are you? How good of a friend are you, right? When you're struggling with your own sickness, you become very self-absorbed. Mm. It's very selfish. It becomes very selfish. You almost have to be to deal with your individual problems that you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. And so just think about that for a second. That's why in Newsweek a long time ago, I have this article there's Newsweek and then there's Time. They ask what scares the doctors. So they interviewed all these doctors and they're talking about what doctors hate about hospitals. That was really the article, the Time magazine article. And I've got it in front of me here. And if you turn to this, what's really interesting, there's an article in here in Time magazine. They asked doctors, what scares you the most? And their answer, which I just showed you this, maybe you can speak to this. Mm-hmm. What was their answer? Here, read it right here. I'll show it to you.
The answer is being the patient.
Being the patient. So the title of the article, What Insiders Know About Our Healthcare System That the Rest of Us Need to Learn. Mm-hmm. And this was several years ago. And you think about the fact that when you understand this and you see this day in and day out, you see that, oh my goodness, what we're doing right now is not only not working, but it actually can be destructive if we do too much of it.
Speaking of the Newsweek article, I have that article right here, and it's talking about medical procedures. So many of the interventions and the procedures and the tests and medications are absolutely not necessary. This Newsweek article says that common tests and procedures in medicine, they're not just expensive, but they can do more harm than good. Mm-hmm. So this allows us to circle back to our health philosophy and say, are we making these decisions? Are we choosing these interventions that are potentially not even necessary because we are living out of fear or because we believe that our bodies are broken? Or is there a different way? Can we believe differently? Can we choose differently?
Mm-hmm. In that Newsweek article, they say the one word that can save your life, right? The one word that can save your life. And we're dramatically turning pages here, so you know we're actually... opening things up that do exist that you can find on your own. The one word that can save your life is
no.
No, it's no. It yeah. literally is just pull back, stop for a second, reassess, reevaluate. Where are we in this decision-making process? And is this an imminent, urgent problem where I have to throw some outside intervention on immediately to save my life? Mm-hmm. And for the vast majority of cases and the problems, listen, we can't speak to your individual situation, but we can say, oh my goodness, can we take a step back and reassess where we are right now? And it comes back to philosophy and paradigm.
Yeah. And I think that's, if you take away one thing from this episode, I want it to be that you know that you have a choice. You absolutely can say no, because it is your body and you get to choose what you do with it. Whether that is to opt into the interventions, that's your choice. But if it's to choose a different way, you can also say no.
So the idea that there's a one size fits all and there's only one choice. There's only one choice. There's only one route. Really is not giving people the opportunity for a different way. And I don't want to say an alternative way, because there's the reality is nature was here first. You know, really that other way that we're talking about right now, let's just call it the outside in philosophy of trying to trick the body into health. The technology is better than nature. This idea that we can improve upon what the design is, that actually came secondary to nature. Nature, the universe, God, whatever you describe it, was here first. So really all that's alternative to nature and natural laws. Mm-hmm. And there's clearly an attack on the natural order right now, with the idea of synthetic beef being better than regular beef. I mean, come on, it's ridiculous. The idea that synthetic beef is going to save our planet if we all just ate synthetic beef. You might have seen this here recently. Bill Gates came out and said synthetic beef is better than regular beef and we should do it to save the planet from climate change. Right.
I don't even know how to respond to that except laugh.
I don't think we need to. But there's a different way and maybe even a different approach that says, and I'll read you principle number 20. This is principle number 20 and what that means when you hear principle number 20. There's these things called chiropractic principles that Dr. B.J. Palmer, who's the developer of chiropractic, he recognized that there are certain universal laws or natural principles that when we recognize these principles and live by these principles, that we live better. In essence, right?
Yeah.
Is that a decent way of saying that to the layperson?
That's a great way of saying
that. That it's not just, this isn't like principles that the chiropractor recognizes and how he practices. This is also a universal laws of understanding. And principle number 20 says, is a living thing is in quotes, has an inborn intelligence within its body called innate intelligence. Mm-hmm. What is this innate intelligence and what is innate health, this understanding of this? Because this is the game changer, understanding that there is a living thing that humans, as people, living, breathing, that there is an inborn intelligence that runs and governs and controls us on a second-to-second basis, that we don't have to necessarily trick the body into doing what we think it should do at the time we think it should do it, because really, who are we to ever tell the body what it should do in the time that it should do it?
And you can even simplify it down to the things that you do every single day to stay alive. You are not sitting there right now telling your lungs to take in air and assimilate oxygen and put them in your red blood cells and all that. Your body is doing that on its own. How is it doing that? It's because it has innate intelligence. Your body already knows how to do that. Mm-hmm. Similar to healing, if you were to get a cut on your arm, you don't have to tell your skin how to come back together and platelets to form and all of that. Your body does that on its own, and it's because it has innate intelligence. So we can look at that scenario and say that the body already knows how to heal. I think a lot of people would get on board with that idea. If we were to go up to a random person and say, hey, do you think that your body knows how to heal?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say almost 100% of people would agree with that.
My son, one of my sons, Samuel, I have two, as you know, Samuel, the littlest, he's 4 years old and trying to do a backflip on the trampoline at 4 years old because he saw his older brother doing it. Mm-hmm. It didn't end well, right? Landed straight on his face, scraped his nose, blood coming off his nose, the whole deal. Comes off the trampoline, you know, crying, and when the tears are all dried up and everything else, says, don't worry, Dad, it's going to heal.
Oh.
Right. The understanding that it's going to, and it did heal, and it healed so fast. It's crazy. Like, kids heal rapidly, like so quickly. Like, mm-hmm. your kid falls down, scrapes his knee. Oh my gosh, that's healed in like 3 days. It's incredible. Scab, the whole deal. And when a baby is born, we say it's a miracle of life. Mm. It's just a miracle. Like, it isn't just a miracle, like how this whole thing happened. Well, that miracle didn't leave you. Miracle is still inside of you. Mm-hmm. You know, we say things like, you know, the greatest doctor in the world lives right inside of you. These are things that we tell our patients. The greatest doctor in the world lives right inside of you. Well, that doesn't change, right? The greatest doctor in the world is not some doctor who come up with new technology somewhere in, you know, in Australia or at the Mayo Clinic or at the Cleveland Clinic. The greatest doctor in the world lives right inside of you. The recognition of that greatest doctor in the world and understanding that, and that the doctor doesn't need any help, mm-hmm. just no interference.
Yeah.
Get out of the way. Say no. Mm-hmm. Let's stop doing some of the things that we're doing that causes destructive and interference. And I would say the destructive behaviors that will cause interference.
Yeah.
Get out of the way. Stop poisoning yourself, as an example. Mm-hmm. Right? Stop eating foods that cause interference. Like, allow your body to function and heal at its best by minimizing some of the things that are interfering with the body's innate ability to heal.
Yeah. I think, like I said, a lot of people would get on board with that. A lot of people would agree that the body knows how to heal. But it's when we get to the bigger things, like we talked about at the top of the episode, of when crisis mode happens. Mm-hmm. Where along the way do we forget that? Mm-hmm. Where along the way do we go sideways about this?
And it's that fork in the road that you don't recognize that it's a fork in the road. Mm-hmm. It's that fever that your child has. It's so easy just to reduce, whatever. It's that when that child has an ear infection, and it's a viral ear infection the vast majority of the time. That's not like 51% we're saying the vast majority of the time. It's like in the 90s% that it's viral when your child has an ear infection. And yet that fork in the road is, here's this pill, this antibiotic. And the pediatricians have said, yeah, we're giving them an antibiotic because we know that's not going to treat the ear infection because it's viral, the vast majority of them. But we can't have our patients not leaving with something. Like, they've got to go fill up something. Like, they're not going to feel like we've done a good job if they're not leaving with something. And it's the assumption that that antibiotic is not going to destroy the microbiome, not going to destroy, you know, affect the immune system, not going to affect the gut. And even if it does, it's minimized and the body's going to end up self-healing and self-regulating. Well, do we take advantage of the natural resilience of the body by doing that? It's a question. Like, are we taking advantage of the resilience of the body by just saying, well, it's not going to be that bad for you. Mm-hmm. Well, accumulate that with all the other things that we do. Like, it's not going to be that bad for you if you're consuming red dye number 40, and if you're consuming, you know, the high fructose corn syrup here at T-ball. And then what are you going to do when you go to whatever, go for ice cream afterwards? You know, it's mm-hmm. not gonna be that bad. It's the accumulation of all these things that does have a detrimental impact on that person's, let's just say, potential in life. And isn't that what we're really talking about here?
Yeah.
Is life potential. Mm-hmm. Potential years of life lost. Why does that matter? Because that's potential life. And however you choose to spend your life is your choice. But you should have the opportunity, let's call it the abundant life or full life or whatever you choose to use as your terminology, but you should have that opportunity. And so recognizing that there are certain things that interfere with your body's expression of life and life within. And that inborn intelligence that, you know, we talk about as max living doctors, and that chiropractors certainly have a good understanding and recognition of, is that inborn intelligence within the body. It's not esoteric. It's not weird. It's an important recognition to support the inborn intelligence with the body in the fullness of its expression if you want fullness of life.
Yeah, that's so good. And I mean, what it all comes back to is that your body was made to heal.
Designed to heal.
Designed to heal. Exactly. Yeah.
So innate health, understanding of innate health, it's more about, if we're going to treat something, treat the cause, not just the symptom. Treat the cause, like, find the cause, remove the interference there and let the body heal.
Right, right. Because innate intelligence is inside of us. We have to take the approach of looking inward. We have to look inside. We can't be dependent on all of these external sources that may or may not be beneficial for us, right? Mm-hmm. So really, it's knowing what we're doing about our health, knowledge of our health practices from the foods that we eat, from our mindset, knowing how that affects our health for the long term, and then making decisions based on that, based on what we want our health outcomes to be, not just for ourselves, but for our families. Because you investing in your health, you making your health a priority, that directly affects your family. And then as you're raising children, it affects their health philosophy. And then they're going to grow up to make their own health decisions for themselves and for their family. So then when you are pouring into your family, you are changing your community and generations to come. That's how we're going to get healthy. That's how we're going to get well. And that's how we're going to change the face of healthcare in America.
Mm, so good. I often say that, you know, be the rock that redirects the course of the river. I might, you know, I know this might not be how your family has lived. I know it's not certainly how my family lived, is this max living way in this vitality perspective or on innate health. But you have a choice. You have a decision to make. And that river might be running strong in a certain direction, but you can be the rock that redirects the course of the river for not only your family, but for future generations. You change your DNA by the decisions you make today. Mm. You can pass down healthier genes. Even if you have poor genes, you can pass down healthier genes by the decisions that you make today. Mm-hmm. So make good decisions today. And then tomorrow too, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Today's the day. No better time than the present.
Okay. I feel like a good place to close there.
Yeah. There's so much more that we can talk about on the topic. So we'll definitely have more conversations about this in the future.
Yeah. Until we figure out an actual close to this show, we'll just say, see you next time.
See you next time.